It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Oh, fucking left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable. The
game
from the
court!
The
game
from the court! The
game
from the court!
Oh, the band is out on the field! He's going to go into the end zone! He's going into the other band!
Montana looking, looking, throwing in the end zone.
You're tuned into Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Bowe.
Game On!
Talking all things sports, it's...
Game On!
Yeah, Game On!
Game On! Right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Oh! We are live, baby! Welcome to another edition of the episode of Game On Live here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Happy Friday to all of you. I am your host, Josh Silverberg. Eric Bowe out tonight, last minute thing. Had to go to an event with his wife for an event, so he will be back next week. He has guaranteed it, which we'll get into a little bit later, but Speedy Petey is here. And we were going to talk NHL playoffs and NBA playoffs. We were going to start with that, but then the number one ranked golfer in the world decided to get arrested at 5:30 in the morning. Speedy, how are you?
I was not awake at 5:30 in the morning, just to clarify. Sometimes I am, but was not on that particular night when the news would have broke about Mr. Scheffler.
Yeah, well, listen, it's crazy, and I'm supporting my Rangers today. If you could see it, the hat's not, you know, with the blue. Of course, the blue always gets messed up on this computer. It's not even straight. My hat's embarrassing. That's number one. And then my I Heart New York, get it, with Josh Hart on the shirt. So we're supporting both New York teams tonight. You can check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Periscope, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, all smart speakers, and so much more. We have a lot to get to tonight. Juan Soto is willing to discuss an in-season contract with the Yankees. Why it is a joke that that would even be a conversation, because I will tell you what the number it would be for him to sign in season. We're talking about that. The NFL schedule released the other day. And no, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to do a win-loss, win-loss, win-loss guess game, because training camp hasn't even happened yet, and somebody could tear their Achilles once they step on the field. So we're not even going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole, but I want to give you some interesting games and why it's starting to get expensive for the NFL to get why it's getting expensive to watch NFL games going forward. So we'll talk about that. We'll do a little update for the NHL and the NBA playoffs, and we'll get into a little Caitlin Clark information. Why is she struggling so much? Is it her that's the problem, or is it the team that's the problem? We'll discuss that. But we begin, of course, the big news that happened this morning. The number one ranked player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, one of the nicest human beings on the planet, was trying to drive into Valhalla Country Club, which I'm sure now the PGA is probably never going to want to have a tournament there ever again. Decided to drive, try to drive through the traffic that was happening. He was told by police officers to stop. One police officer even got on the back of his golf cart. And that's when all the chaos ensued. And the reason it ensued is because, and you can call number 261-672-3108. It ensued because the cop was telling him to stop. Scotty says he didn't hear any of it. Everything like that. You know, literally in a quote, he said, "I was just so confused at what was happening at the time. I didn't know what time it was. I didn't know what was going on. When I was sitting in the holding cell or whatever, there was a TV there, and I could see myself on the TV on ESPN. Get Up was on, so the corner, it showed the time, and then it said they were delayed, and I was kind of thinking about my tea time. I was like, well, maybe I could be able to get out." Reports were that he was, in fact, warming up in his jail cell. So the number one player in the world got out of jail to go play a round of golf. Interesting. And everything of that nature.
How to warm up in a jail cell. interesting.
You know, and then he said that'll get resolved, I think, fairly quickly. Of course, it's going to get resolved. It's going to be written off. We know that and everything of that nature.
All the Masters winnings will go into that.
Well, it's just a like I said, it's a whole sequence of just everything that when you read about it, it's because he is one of the nicest human beings people have said on the planet about him and everything of that nature, and you're just surprised to hear this because he is a representation of the sport of golf right now. He's the face, one of the faces of the sport. And meanwhile, Tiger Woods is probably going over to him and high-fiving him and dabbing him and saying, what's up, my brother, and doing all that, right? They have something they could connect with. They both have been in the holding cell
one together. Down, five to go to get the Tigers level.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, Tiger's had some interesting forays. But yeah. Listen, we all make mistakes and we get by it. And again, I don't think there was anything there was, and before that, the reason there was traffic, I believe there was a worker who worked there, right, was hit by a bus or something like that, yeah, and died on the scene.
Right.
So that was why all the traffic was happening and Scotty, you know, everything of that nature. It really, when you hear about this story, Speedy, it's a very, you try to wrap your brain around it because you're saying to yourself, okay, Scotty is one of the nicest human beings on the planet. He's a good Samaritan. He's never done anybody wrong. He really is a great face for the sport of professional golf, whether it's the PGA or LIV. And then you see, you're hearing a story about a cop holding on to the back of his golf cart, telling him to stop, and he's dragging the cop.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts when you heard this story this morning? Because it really blew my mind. I thought when Jeff Darlington posted this on X, I was like, this is not real.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if it was real, too, because it doesn't seem like something that he would do, because, like, attacking a cop is, like, something you would see.
But did he really attack a cop, or was it just, like, you think he was... Maybe, like, he was just trying to get somewhere on time, and maybe he didn't hear somebody.
That's the other vantage point of the story.
I'm not making excuses for him.
I'm not either. I think that's the other vantage point that was coming in. Oh, I have to get to this tee time at a certain time, but...
Yeah, because if you don't get to the tee time on time, they dock you points.
Yeah.
And don't forget how much money was bet and wagered on Scotty to win this tournament after he collapsed last week with Rory McIlroy. Beat him.
Yeah, so I guess those kind of circumstances are going to conflict as it is. It's definitely surprising, like you said, for somebody like him because he's been a very good attitude guy and a good family guy. So I think
it's one of the bigger tournaments too. It's the PGA. It's one of the bigger ones. You have obviously the British Open. You have the U.S. Open, and you have the Masters.
Yep.
So these are it's one of the big fours. Obviously, if you want to count
the one at the end of the Players' Championship.
You can count the Players' Championship. Yeah. In the U.S. Course, you could also count the one with the player, the countries, the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
If you want to put that one in there and everything like that.
The one the U.S. usually never wins anyway.
Well, they don't because they play favoritism and they pick whoever they feel like they pick their best friends when they shouldn't be doing that. But that's besides the point. I mean, it's just so crazy and everything of that nature. When I saw Jeff Darlington posted this morning, I was like, it was... You know, like, he was literally sitting in a holding cell at Louisville Metro Department of Corrections, watching himself be arrested on TV. What?
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
I literally didn't even understand, you know, I mean, everything. And I see what Snug's doing. He's doing the whole Man City thing. Yes, congratulations to Man City. They're going to win another Premier League for the fifth year in a row. Congratulations. Just don't collapse the West Ham on Sunday, which they definitely will not. West Ham is embarrassing. To be precise with everything that's happening, I thought it was there was a video that came out, like a cop was talking or whatever it was about. I didn't get a chance to see the whole video. But Scotty seems very calm to the media when he met with him. He shot a 66 today. Mm-hmm. Still, he's in third place right now. I mean, it's like, did it really affect him that much? Maybe warming up in a jail cell wasn't such a bad idea. He got quiet time.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Would you rather be in a jail cell, or would you rather be in like with ayahuasca in a dark room like Aaron Rodgers for a couple days?
That is a good question. I'll go with the ayahuasca.
Yeah, ayahuasca in a dark room for a couple days?
Sure.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers does seem interesting enough where that could have its
No,
moments.
But Aaron Rodgers is not with you. This is you on your own.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
That's the point. You're supposed to collect your own thoughts.
Correct. So I think that'll be easier to do than in a jail cell with a prison guard and a bunch of other inmates that could be possibly annoying.
You know what I'm saying? And everything. So to me, and everything. And I was just thinking of Snug. Snug literally just answered what I was about to say. What do you think Snug would do? Drugs or jail?
Oh, Snug would go for the ayahuasca-infused cupcakes.
And everything. I try to be kind. Listen, Snug, like I said, which I try to be kind with the Premier League stuff. It is what it is. It's good. Like I said, I got into it this year. It was a good season for Arsenal. Their first year, they good future. They, you know, and hopefully the hard cap in the Premier League will help everything going forward. Snug says, yeah, I'd go with Speedy.
Yeah, I'm sure you would love to hear my thoughts, Snug.
But anyway, like I said, it's just really crazy. We're going to keep an eye on this story. This is going to be written about for a little bit. And everything of that nature. Caitlin Clark making news. Not in a good way. Her team is lost, I believe, by what was the history-making statistics, Speedy? I said I said it was about Caitlin Clark. I think it was they've lost by – oh, here it is. The Fever didn't just lose the first two games. They lost them in historic fashion. Indiana's been outscored by a combined 57 points in their first two games of the season.
Mm-hmm. 92-71 the first one, then 102-66 the second one.
And I believe she only scored in the second game. She had 9 points in her second game. She had 20 in her first game, but she had 10 turnovers. So mm-hmm. She shot 33% in her first game, 25% in her second game. So the question, and again, I know we have who did they pick last year as the first overall pick?
So it was Aaliyah Boston, who was the big girl from South Carolina, who was on that 2022 national championship team that lost only one game during the regular season. She was their best player, so she was the first pick that year, and then Caitlin obviously was this year.
So do you think we could actually one put the Caitlin Clark and play in the NBA conversation to bed?
I mean, it's a long shot anyway. I was doing it more as an experimental thing.
I never thought it would happen. But
I don't think it's going to happen either. It's just one of those like.
Because she could shoot well. Here's the problem: is she doesn't have the one. She doesn't have the strength to be able to. I think get by an NBA depending on who the NBA. Do you put her 1-on-1 against OG Anunoby? Do you think she's going to be able to get by OG Anunoby?
No, I don't think anyone is.
Do you think she's going to be able to get by Jason Tatum?
I don't think she's going to drive to the hoop anyway. That was the logic. She was just going to really be a shooter and a ball handler type thing. Hypothetically,
I mean, you know.
It's one of those things of where certain NBA teams are just so far in the gutter anyway. So like, is it like for the Wizards that are horrible? Like,
I'm just saying, am I like where I get everything
even for just a 10-day contract? Like,
but I'm no Speedy. It's not happening.
I didn't say it was. I'm saying what's. I'm saying
I know that. But even
for
a thought
team so far in the gutter.
But Speedy, even a thought of it from out of your mouth, it makes it. It's silly. Why even a thought process? Do you want if you want her to be in the 3-point contest next year? Like, what's her name? Sabrina.
Yeah, which is probably going to happen
from,
anyway.
What's her name? Sabrina
Ionescu.
Ionescu from the Liberty. If you want her to do that against Curry in the All Star weekend, you could do that. That's fine. But to put her in the NBA, I just stop. And it's nothing against her. Listen, she's going to be an amazing, talented player in her sport. Let me tell you, she's brought a ton of revenue to the WNBA. They're traveling charter now. They have their own private planes. They're selling out crowds right now. I know the Liberty, I believe, have a sellout tomorrow at the Barclays Center to watch her go play. She's drawing interest and creeps and weirdos to her press conferences, too. Hence, one of them got let go. Well, not let go, suspended. But besides that, it's a matter of, you know, she's going to do wonders. She will go. I think she will go down as one of the best WNBA players of all time. She couldn't play in the NBA. It would be a challenge for her. She's a great shooter. You know, she really is, but I just don't think it could happen. Again, with the strength, the height, all that stuff, it would be a very challenging, difficult thing for her. I mean, how tall is she? She's 6 feet tall, though. That's another thing, too. It's like, there's no way.
Yeah, with bigger guards, that's definitely not ideal for that kind of thing to be like that high of a level. But again, we were only bringing it up as a hypothetical because there's so many really bad NBA teams.
Yeah. Juan Soto says he's willing to have a conversation with the Yankees this season about discussing a contract extension. Okay. Now, Snug, is that one being the most likely with – or is it three being the most likely and it goes 3-2-1? I think, figure that out. I'm sure, I would think one is probably the most likely.
No, he said what in the above, what I rather do.
Okay, so one is drugs, okay. Would you like to know how Juan Soto would get a contract extension with the Yankees this season? If the Yankees came to him and said, we'll offer you $800 million on the spot.
You think it's going to take that much? Wow.
Yeah. That's the only way he's going to do it. He's not going to sign in the season. Boris won't let him.
I don't think he will either. You think it would only be for that much, though? Even if the Yankees said,
I think if the Yankees
$650 or something like that?
Nope. I think Boris would still say no.
Really?
How much did the Nationals offer him at that time?
Well, yeah, the Nationals was 12 years and $550, and like that was spread out to where the average annual value was not very good.
I think it would take at least $700-something.
Well, yeah, to get the average annual value to that many years, you're going to have to.
I think it would be at least $700-something would be how this gets done. In my opinion, that's the only way possible that basically that any sort of contract extension will get done, in my opinion.
All right, I'm just trying to see. $700 million hypothetically for 12 years. Let's say it's a 12-year deal. It would be a $58.3 million per year.
But let me ask you this. If the Yankees say they did that, right, so you're saying 12 years, seven what?
700 exactly. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I don't even know if it's going to be that. 700 for 13 is 53.8.
But do you think Boris will say that that's okay? We'll do it.
I mean, 700 is a lot. I mean, I think a lot of expectations for what we were hearing was that Juan Soto and Scott.
And again, this is not what I would do.
No. I
want
that
to be very fully aware. I would not do that. But here's the thing. He's probably the next best player in baseball, probably after Shohei.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to use that contract like per year as leverage. He's not going to get obviously what Ohtani got.
He's also not going to get he's not going to get it all up front. It's going to be a lot of years that are. They're going to do what the Dodgers did. Whoever does it,
sure. But even so, like because he is young enough, where he's going to still get a 12 or 13 year deal. They still want to spread out the average annual value to make it happy too. That's why it definitely could spike to 700. The market value is saying more towards in the 600 range. So I don't know if he'll get to 700, but Boris will definitely push for it, whether it's realistic or not.
But do you see
not,
if
question.
The Yankees did come to him and say, "We'll offer you 12 years, $675"? Do you think?
I think they do it. Yeah.
Do you think Boris would say yes?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think Boris has to realize that, like, how often he's...
But how are the Yankees going to do this? With the Judge contract, the Stanton contract, the Cole contract...
It's not a hard cap.
The LeMahieu, the Rizzo...
It's a luxury tax.
LeMahieu, the Rizzo, the Rodon. I mean, how
I mean,
is
yeah, obviously
get done?
A lot of those are going to be gone at the end of the year.
Well, they're not.
Stanton, in theory, will be the hardest
Stanton's
one.
Here for another 3 years. Judge is locked up long-term. LeMahieu's here for another 2 years. Rizzo's got another year after this year. Rodon's there for another 4 years. Where Cole, if he takes this option,
Cole,
he's there for another 5 or 6 years. Where are these guys going to be going, Speedy?
Yeah, Cole will depend on how he comes back.
But I'm saying, but you said they're going to be gone. Where are these guys going to be going? The only one that's going to be going under that one is short-term Rizzo.
Rizzo. All right. So Rizzo, in theory, again, depending on how well they hit, because that'll be dependent on the value of what they could get. If LeMahieu struggles, yeah, they're going to be stuck with him. If
he is struggling. He's not healthy.
Well, yeah. It depends. Giancarlo Stanton's playing well right now. If it stays that way and he stays healthy, then yeah. Maybe there's
LeMahieu,
a taker. I don't know.
LeMahieu's out of free agent until 2027.
Okay. Yeah.
So you got... Two more years. Yep, two more years. And then what did Rizzo sign? I think this is Rizzo's last year.
Rizzo's last year, yeah. He's a free agent at the end of the year. So he'll
but
be
I'm just saying, though, how is this even going to get even close to being done?
Well, again, this Garrett is gonna, Cole is the wild card because
Cole's taking that out. You don't think he would take the option?
I don't know. Depends on how he pitches. If he struggles after the injury, yeah, he'll take it.
So if he doesn't take the option and he walks... Who do the Yankees replace him with? Now, again, Rodon's having a nice year. Stroman is pitching well now.
Yeah.
But this is what he does. He pitches well the first half. How was Stroman pitching, actually? I know Rodon's pitching okay.
Rodon is...
Stroman's 3-2 with a 3-3 ERA.
Yeah, Rodon is fine. He's not the main issue here. I think the issue is the veteran hitters right now with their contracts because LeMahieu has
Heal's been good too, man.
Yeah.
He's on my fantasy team, Heal.
Mm-hmm. Because the hitters, they have not reached the peak form for their contract levels the way that that the Yankees needed for it to be long-term. Now, the Yankees have enough production with their younger hitters to make it work if they can get it with Dominguez when he comes up and whatever.
Let me tell you something. If my dad wants to, if my dad wants to call in, what's the number, Speedy?
631-672-3108.
631-672-3108. If my father would love to call in and chime in, love to get his take on it. And I would, you know, Snug wants to hear his opinion on it. I'd love to get him and his take on it.
Again, Snug, I'm more referring to the bigger issues contractually. Rodon, I don't think, is the biggest issue for them because veteran hitters are going to be harder to get trade value for in comparison to pitchers. So if the Yankees need to shed contracts to try to pay Soto in season, the best option would be LeMahieu if he's still getting enough trade value, like if he's hitting well enough, I guess.
And Snug, if he wants to call in, by the way, he's just his mind could be on this Bruins game tonight, just like, you know.
True.
Starts at 7.
But the Yankees...
And the Knicks, too. He's got the Knicks at 8:30 and the Bruins at 7. This is a big night for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he always texts me about the Mets.
That is true. Snug would probably want a live cam of your father anyway.
Okay.
If that thing would ever exist.
Here, hold on. I'm going to 16. What's the number?
631-672-3108.
There you go. Got him. Okay. Let's see if this works. He says he's... we will see. Everything of that nature. But listen, of course, a night of basketball and hockey and Scottie Scheffler getting arrested, and we're going to get into a baseball conversation about contracts.
Yeah, it looks like he's going it. All right.
Is he on?
Looks like we got him.
All right. Hey, Dad.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up? You were requested by Snug to call in. Oh, God, he's going to go nuts that she hears your voice.
Oh, everybody's excited. By the way, what do you want to talk about?
Well, hold on. Did you see my shirt, by the way? Did you see the shirt?
What, the Hawk shirt?
Did you see beautiful? The... Let me see. Can you see it on the screen? Is it going to mess the screen up? Let me see. Do you see that?
You got to stand up.
Here you go.
I can't see it.
You see it now?
There's a little bit of a delay, so it'll come in any second.
It doesn't work. It's fine on the screen. Heart's a little messed up.
That's okay, but you understand the whole take. I heart New York, you know, and everything like that. He's my favorite player on the Knicks. So
very nice. So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Soto?
Yeah, we're talking about the contracts. You said I'm crazy. And by the way, really quickly, I would not offer him that. I'm just saying that I feel like, you know how Boris plays these games? He's going to want to set the record contract deal because he's going to want to get close to what Ohtani got from his contract.
Yeah, but the big difference is what I want to – the one point I have to make is that the money the Dodgers make on Ohtani just because of what he does as a Japanese ball player and the amount of merchandise they can sell and the amount of fandom he brings into the stadium is way more than anything – that Soto will be able to do with the Yankees. I mean, Soto will be another great Yankee hitter, and people will buy some Soto jerseys and stuff like that. But there's not enough, there's not as much growth potential on a Soto as a player than there is as an Ohtani as a player. I mean, Ohtani as a player is like the
cultural
he's a worldwide revenue.
He's worldwide. Exactly. He's global. He's a global revenue. Everything he touches from Japan to the States, he gets everything. I mean, unless, you know, Ipe decides to steal more of his money in jail. I mean, that could be a thing, but it is what it is.
Right. But the other point is that once the Yankees go over that Cohen tax penalty, it's 100% salary penalty. So basically, if you give him like $500 million and like a $50 million contract, but they go over the cap by $30 million, that becomes an $80 million a year contract because they got to give Soto $50 million and they're going to pay 100% of the $30 million that they go over the penalty on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, no one's giving
Soto
$80
million. Speed, why don't you know this? Speed, did you know this?
I didn't know the exact number.
But I'm saying, did you understand the revenue?
I know how the penalties work. I didn't know the exact number.
Yeah, it's like a 300, I think it's $300 million. I can't remember the exact amount, but the Yankees are right up against it. The Mets are right up against it. I think the Mets are unloading contracts at the end of the year. They have a much easier time of getting themselves out of it than the Yankees do.
You think Pete's gone at the end of the year, right?
Who? Hell yeah.
He thinks Alonso's gone.
If It could be sooner. You want to know the contract they'd love to get out from under? The Lindor contract.
I agree
they'd
with you.
They'd love to get out from under that contract.
Yeah, they would. That one, I'm trying to think who was. The Marte. Yeah.
The Marte one. Contract's got another year and a half.
Yeah. Don't say Nimmo. Nimmo's actually being paid a good average annual. That was
he's
a good deal.
He's all right. I mean,
he's fine. He's fine. The Lindor one is eh. I don't like the Lindor one anymore. I'm over that one. I tell you what, you know who I'm really over, by the way, really quickly. I'm really over my Brett Beattie jersey, who I have not worn a single time since you bought it for me.
Oh, I feel bad. Well, the time he was sitting good, but
was he though? Was he though? Was he, or was it, he had a good month, right? And then they were like, all right, we've seen enough. Vientos, get up here. Even though you suck defensively, we need you to play because Beattie can't hit.
Anyway. I don't want to get in. This is the worst overall Mets team I can remember in a long time. I mean, they had worst record.
Yeah.
But if you look at the whole construction of the team.
Oh, it's pitiful.
This is as bad a team as I could ever remember. There's nothing on this team.
Well, it's killer, too, because Diaz all of a sudden forgot to be a closer. And this is a killer for them. I mean, this is like. Because everybody in their bullpen is actually pitching well, but him. He's the weakest link in that bullpen. The starting pitching has actually been really good for them. The hitting, the lineup is awful. I mean, the lineup is terrible.
Is awful, right?
The only guy that's, can I tell you, the only guy that's hitting really, really well, the only guy that's been hitting, you know who's hitting well for the Mets? J.D. Martinez.
J.D. Martinez is hitting great.
He's hitting really well. They'll trade him at the deadline. They'll trade Alonso at the deadline. I think he's gone.
They'll trade anybody. They will trade anybody.
Oh, Serge, here's the thing. None of these guys, Speedy as a Mets fan knows this, none of these guys, the thing was, there's no connection to Stearns with any of these contracts. Right. None of these guys are Stearns guys. Like Alonso, Lindor, you want to go starting pitchers, Quintana, all these guys. None of these guys. Do you want to know the guys that are his guys? The one-year guys that are actually pitching and hit J.D. Martinez, you could say that's a David Stearns guy. He's playing really freaking well, right? But I think another guy that could get moved is Jeff McNeil. He's going to be gone. McNeil is all of a sudden a wash. Yeah. He's gone. It's like he forgot how to even be a triple-A player at this point. It's embarrassing. It's itchy because I'm actually very mixed on Mendoza and how he's been. There's games when he's managed very well.
Yeah.
And there's games when it's been like, it's not been great, but it's like, what do you want him to do?
Yeah, he's not the problem. It's the roster construction. It's really.
I mean,
bad.
Okay.
Don't worry, they'll all be traded to Seattle and rebirth over there.
But they had it's a funny thing. Their lineup this year is a much better hitting lineup than last year's lineup. And yet, it produces less. Like, when you look at last year's lineup with Vogel back as the DH.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
No. Look at this. They have an injured Marte was an almost everyday right fielder who produced nothing. I mean, they had like dramatic holes. I was going to say, the common is Alvarez isn't in either lineup. But,
he was playing very well before he got hurt, Alvarez. That's the shame. That stinks. Yeah. Yeah. Really quickly, before we let you go and everything, a couple of points I wanted to ask you. Scotty Scheffler arrested this morning. Your take on that one. That was out of left field.
I mean, I think it's just one of these weird things where you have an over-aggressive cop and a guy that doesn't quite know what's going on, and it's all of a sudden, I'm sure that cop's, this thing's going to disappear. Like
that's what I said. It's going to disappear. That's what I said in the beginning. It's going to be gone under the surface.
You got to show a little, but obviously this guy died in a car accident, so there must have been a lot of nonsense going on.
The PGA's never going to ever have a tournament at this place ever again.
Valhalla
will never have a tournament there.
Yeah, don't pick up the soap while you're in prison. That's all I can say.
He was warming up in the jail cell. He still shot a 66 today. Good for him.
I know.
It was unbelievable.
He was doing jumping jacks. What are you
doing?
Know.
He was describing. He said he was working on his swing because he had a lot of room in the cell. He was kind of like joking about it because he's probably thinking this is a joke. Like, he's looking at himself on TV get arrested in the cell on Get Up this morning. And he gets out of the cell to go play a round of golf and he shoots a 66. Like,
yeah. I'm going to let you go, but you got to talk about one thing before you go.
I wanted to get your take on two things.
No, it's the NFL scheduling. NFL scheduling.
We were going to.
It was horrible.
I agree.
It's very unfair.
I agree. I think the Jets got completely screwed in this whole thing.
Doesn't matter. Like, teams in the same division used to play almost identical schedules except for one or two games.
Yeah, you sent
now,
me.
Like,
you sent three now, games. It's three games now with the extra.
Yeah, but it's like dramatic. And a team that only plays 16 games a year, there's some dramatic favoritism towards certain teams. Not intentional, but it's just dramatically unfair.
It's
to
a pattern.
Some team.
It's a pattern. It's been that way.
Oh, I love dropping the soap, Frank. Love it. It's my favorite. But really quick, before we let you go.
No.
Hold on. Bruins win tonight or lose?
What do you want to know?
Bruins.
It's going to be like 2-1, 3-2. You could pick the winner. I don't know.
No, you pick the winner. It's your freaking team. It's your team.
Well, I'm going to pick the Bruins because it's in Boston, but it's going to be by a goal and an open net.
Okay.
And an open net. So it'll be
3-1. 3-1.
You know, 4-2 or something. It's,
okay.
You know, that could be crazy.
And then the Knicks. Knicks ended tonight, or are we going to game 7?
Knicks are winning tonight.
Oh, no.
Knicks are winning tonight.
What's, it was 5.5 Indiana, so you're saying... So you're saying take the Knicks?
Yeah, take the Knicks. They almost won game 3.
I know. Okay,
I mean, I don't understand.
Now, do you take the over or under 215?
I'm going to pick the under.
Okay. I could see big tight tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate you calling. Always, man. Be good. All right. Good luck to Boston tonight. All right, man. Seriously, I want that to go to 7 games. I want 7.
Yeah. I know, because you want to play them instead of Florida.
You're damn right. I do. And we start Wednesday. I want New York Boston in both series. Wouldn't you?
Well, I want, obviously, you know.
Everybody could save money.
Obviously, you know, I want Boston in hockey, but
Dolan could save money on the travel for both teams that they could travel together and he could put money towards the Sphere.
That's right. I didn't realize that you could go to the Garden tonight and actually watch the game. They sold out, but that would have been cool.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I didn't realize this either. Last night they did that for the Rangers too. They sold it out last night too for the Rangers. It was $10 to go. And they had all the concessions open.
Cool?
I might have to do that one day because I can't get in for a regular freaking game.
That would be so much fun. That would be really cool.
All right, maybe we'll do a Nick game, you and I. We'll go. We'll bring Evan us. All right?
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Dad. Go Bruins tonight. Go
bye
Knicks.
Bye.
All right? Bye-bye, man.
Bye-bye, Speedy. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, my dad, Nelson Silverberg, tuning in with us. That was good.
Horses granted, Snug.
There you go, man. Listen, I try to give what the fans want and everything like that. I try to give what the fans want and everything of that nature.
Of course, Snug comments. Let's go Bruins. Clap, 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 clap. So whatever team your dad roots for.
Frankie sent me a picture. What is that? It looks like an airport or some sort. Is he Frankie flying to Indiana tonight? He says Bruins win tonight, 3-1, 4-2. Wasn't specific on the score, but he says Boston wins, goes to a game 7. That would be Sunday in Florida. And he was very, no hesitation. Knicks win tonight. No hesitation. And everything like that. Let's take a quick break, Speedy, because that was a lot to take in, that one. We're getting a little NFL scheduling and everything of that nature. And everything like that. Let me see. He says, it's interesting. Yeah, he said it's at LaGuardia. There's a Bruins JetBlue plane in LaGuardia. I wonder why that's there. Is it fixed? Here we go. It's fixed.
Uh-oh.
Start
the conspiracy.
Start the conspiracy. Where's Errol when you need him? We'll take a break. We'll be right back. This is Game On.
It is the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game on!
Game on!
We're back.
He shoots, he scores!
You're listening.
listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Bowe.
Yes, yes, and yes. Apparently, do you have... So on YouTube, my wife sent me... Her and my son sent me a message saying, what's for dinner? That's a conversation we're going to have after the show is over.
Interesting.
I have a feeling it's going to be a pizza pie picked up. That's where we're going. But be it as it may, let's quickly, speedy. Great show so far. Fantastic. We do miss Eric. Of course, he'll be back next week. He better. I'm kidding. Now, he told me he was busy tonight. I completely forgot. And everything of that nature. Let's get into the NFL schedule. So it's crazy that when we look, it's getting expensive, speedy, to watch the NFL. Four streaming services, Netflix, Amazon Prime, ESPN Plus, Peacock. If you want to watch all your games on Christmas, Netflix, which, by the way, why is the NFL on Christmas on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
What's the point? That's number one. Number two, I can understand if it was on a Saturday or a Sunday. That's fine. But I asked the question. The Thanksgiving is the NFL's day. Christmas should be whose day?
The NBA.
New Year's should be?
The NHL.
Thank you. Not to mention they're also taking away from the college football season, the playoff tournament.
Yep, that's the biggest one.
That's the problem. So, Snug, I'm definitely not going to freaking tell her that one. Absolutely not. No.
Don't be Harrison Butker.
Nah, no, God, no, God. But she's also pregnant. I am definitely not telling her that. And everything of that. To me, I look at the whole thing and I say to myself, not to mention the fact that this is now the second year in a row the Kansas City Chiefs are playing on Christmas. It's kind of messed up. Because it's not just, you know, we think about it, we always think, you know, and everything of that nature. Here's the thing. We always think of the fans, right, and what they're experiencing. But the players are the ones that are this is affecting too.
Right.
And it's not fair that they have to do this every single season. Now, I would say the team that has the best holiday schedule is the Detroit Lions because they play at like 12:30.
Yeah.
And their fans too. And they're done at what, like 3 o'clock? Yep. Fans are home by 3:45. Players are probably home by 5.
Right, and they're 15. Used to it because it becomes a tradition when they do it all the time.
They're home by 5:15. They eat dinner. Boom. The fans, that's the best game to go to. The 12:30 kickoff, you're done at 3 o'clock. You're out of Ford Field by, what, 3:30? Home by 4? Turkey ain't on the table till 5? Let's go. Little pumpkin pie, little pecan pie at 7:30, maybe, huh, Speedy? Watch the little Giants-Cowboys this year. That'll actually be the earlier game.
Yeah.
Actually, the night game is actually interesting. Green Bay and Miami. Mm-hmm. You have to pay to watch that on Peacock, or is that actually going to be on NBC this year? Well, I can't file it anymore. I don't know what it is, but I tell you this, man. A lot of these teams got messed up in the scheduling.
I guess I better look it up for the sake of your father.
Well, it's a matter of, and he's not wrong, and you know this is true. A lot of these teams got screwed in the scheduling.
Now they're on NBC on Thanksgiving.
But a lot of the teams did get screwed with the travel. I mean, and again, I'm just bringing up, like, the Jets, for example. I'm just bringing them up because I know the schedule. So they play, what, Monday night?
They have six prime time in 11 weeks.
They play Monday night, then they play the Titans, then their home opener is freaking Thursday night. Really? Mm-hmm. And then they got, what do they got? They got London. You throw that in there. Oh, and then they come back. Then they got Monday Night Football. What are we doing?
The Jets are ninth in total miles traveled this year in 24 different time zones.
All right, I hope my wife is listening to this still. Snug says, "Dear Mrs. Josh," her name's Melissa, "Dear Melissa, dinner will be whatever you cook for Josh. He has been out working hard bringing us wonderful Nelson content. He needs to be fed and pampered." Ay, God. Anyway, I just think the scheduling is so egregious this year. But you know, to me, it's just so crazy that that's what they gave us. in regards to the scheduling and everything, like, let me ask this. Do you want to see Giants Cowboys again, Speedy, as a Giant fan?
Not based on last year.
I'm just saying.
They were outscored by a combined 70 to 10.
This is what you're getting again.
Yeah. Now, they've always had that issue with the NFC East because they get a lot more primetime games than they should when a lot of the teams are bad even still. Because the NFC East until probably as of like 2021 had a stretch of about 8 years where they were very bad or mediocre, like collectively as a division.
I just think in my heart of hearts when I look at the schedule and everything came out, I said to myself, I said, how are they going to survive the Jets the first 11 weeks with this schedule? Now, granted, the opponents that they're playing, thankfully, all their tough opponents are home this year. Like Houston, they play at home. Who else do they play out in the division? The Rams, they play at home. The Seahawks, they play at home. I'm trying to think of any other tough opponents. The really big tough opponent they have is San Francisco on the road. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They don't really have any crazy tough road games this year. Like, they have Tennessee. Denver comes.
Probably the Steelers are the next hardest.
Yeah. And thankfully the Jets don't go to Denver this year, so Vera Tucker can't hurt himself.
Yeah, but it's MetLife Stadium turf.
I just want to see Zach Wilson get on the field.
Oh, that would be funny.
That's all I want to see. But yeah, let's get into what's been happening around everything else lately, Speedy, and that's the here and the now. We could talk about football another time. Because you know what I always say? There's too much football content out there. We need to get other sports they love, right or wrong. Mm-hmm. The NHL playoffs are happening right now, and one team has moved on. Speedy's smiling. He's smirking, even though he's not wearing any of their gear today.
No, I am rooting for the Knicks tonight, so I'm right.
He can't
Knicks
keep
hat.
Up, Speedy. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He hasn't had this much happiness since the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I've never had this much happiness because my teams never win, so there you go. But the New York Rangers pulled off an improbable comeback yesterday. One that nobody saw coming. Nobody saw happening. Me, myself, and I definitely did not, as I was calling Jacob Trouba a clod on Twitter.
Oh, God.
Can
you stay out of the penalty box, for the love of God?
You know what I'm saying? To me, and what was the tweet I put yesterday? I said, God, watching Jacob Trouba skate with the C on his jersey makes me miss Ryan Callahan and Ryan McDonough. But Chris Kreider told Barclay Goodrow in the locker room, I'm going to get one. I can feel it. He got three. And it was crazy. They got the second one. It was a horrible goal. Brendan Moore completely threw Freddie Anderson under the bus at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Didn't name him. But I wasn't sold just yet. I needed to wait. When they got the power play opportunity with Stahl, because remember right before that, Brady Shea did a delay of game. They didn't call it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of justice. Do I think it was a cross check? Hit and miss. I don't think it was that much.
Jordan Stahl got away with too many penalties in the other series, other games, though, that it was like
he
was due to get one.
So he got the cross check, and they scored, what, with like about a minute left on the power play. Kreider tips it.
Yep.
And it's 3-3. And then I said, okay, they tied it. We saw this in game four. They tied it. Snug, now you're really pushing the envelope here. Also, Melissa, I think Josh would appreciate a foot rub after dinner. He's earned it.
Gosh.
Oh, God. Oh, my Lord. This has to be because I was talking to Errol yesterday on the show and I was talking back with him. Has to be.
Who knows in the mind of Snug?
But when I looked at the tie game, I said to myself, okay, it's 3-3. They did this in game four. What happens now? And then Carolina scored with, about 2 minutes left in the game on the power play. And it was like, and I said to myself, they'll be fine. They'll win in game five. And then they got clobbered in game five. And, you know, some analysts out there said they need to have that little swift kick. Basically, a little humility need to be punched into their brain at that moment and have a realization that this is not going to be an easy cakewalk. You know, sometimes you need a little adversity and everything of that nature. and my mom says Mrs. Josh is having a baby and she needs to be pampered. Everybody needs to stop with the pamper. Nobody needs to be pampered. But thank you, Snug. I appreciate it. Of course, my mom getting involved then. Be it as it may, I said to myself, I said, I'm watching this. After the play happened, the Rangers owned the rest of that game. The onslaught of the offensive zone time. I hadn't seen them play like that. Gosh. And everything of that nature. I think that happened probably since game three.
Game three, not even.
No, that's true. Probably game one.
I would say probably when you look at.
Do you want to say game two when they had, because it was game two was iffy. They had it in the first period, and then the second and third was very mixed.
Game two was probably slightly them, but yeah, it was mixed at certain points. If you want to say the beginning of game two, I guess is the best way to put it. Because yeah, game one is probably the most dominant throughout the whole game. They really got lazy the last 10 minutes or so, but that was really it. The Rangers dominated possession time and like high quality scoring chances besides that. Game three was drastically Carolina in the metrics department, but the Rangers were able to gut it out with the goaltending and the defense enough.
And then, you know, all of a sudden they just dominated the pace of play once they tied the game. I sat there watching last night, watching them dominate. And my buddy texted me and said, oh, this game might go, this, I can't believe this game actually might go to overtime. I texted him, you know, I texted him back. I don't think it's going to overtime. I think they're going to score before the overtime happens. I said, they're dominating Carolina right now. They're killing them. They had no momentum. The crowd was in shock. The Ranger fans were cheering nonstop last night when they tied it. You couldn't hear any of the Hurricane fans. And then the onslaught just happened. And Freddie Anderson, it started with a really, really, really bad second goal that should never, and Brendan Moore's right. It should never, that should never have gone in. And I kept saying, all the Rangers have to do is just put shots on net. That's all they have to do. He's not a good goaltender, Freddie Anderson. He's not. He's okay. He's average at best. Right. He's not good. And when they started putting shots on net, he couldn't stop it. You know, I will say this. There is one guy I would love on Carolina. The Rangers could never afford him. I would love Seth Jarvis.
Yeah, they're not going to be able
to. They're never going to do that. I would love Seth Jarvis. I'm just saying. Seth Jarvis would fit the Rangers perfectly with Laviolette's system. Mm-hmm. To me, this was the Hurricanes, I think. They'll make the playoffs. But this was their last opportunity. Now you have to wonder with Carolina. I think you actually, fans are now going to wonder more about Carolina's future than the Rangers will win in the next round.
Yeah.
Because this was Carolina. They got 13 players that are hitting the market. Mm-hmm. Their head coach doesn't have a contract. So the question now is, was this Carolina's last opportunity? Because they put all their eggs in one basket for Jake Guentzel. Jake Guentzel, by the way, in three of his last playoff appearances, has been eliminated by Islanders, Rangers, didn't make the playoffs, Rangers. So he must hate New York. They put all their eggs in one basket for Guentzel. They traded a good amount from their farm and draft capital to get him. And by the way, Pittsburgh's not getting a first round pick for him now because they didn't get to the conference. They had to get to the cup final, conference final.
Yep.
They didn't get there. So Pittsburgh didn't get it either. So the Rangers did a double whammy.
I forget who it was, but I saw something on Twitter. Somehow this will be Jacob Trouba's fault.
Yeah, well, you know, everything's his fault. I mean, it is, but you know. But
yeah, I'm talking about the Penguins fans' grudges.
But it was so crazy. It was also, when you look back, right, at the beginning of that third period. First off, you look and you say, when Martin Hook makes the save on Lindgren, yep, and you said, it's over. Because I said to myself, they lose. They're not winning game seven at the Garden. I don't care. They're not. No. They're not. And then I said, we're talking about the coaches and the players. And the players, I said, are so mentally soft. Panarin, Mika, Fox. These guys are so mentally soft. But what about Chris Drury? Three straight years as a GM, 2-0 lead in the conference finals. Didn't win another game after that. 2-0 lead in the first round last year, lost in 7. 3-0 lead, almost lost in this series. I'm thinking to myself, how is Chris Drury going to survive this? How is anybody going to survive this? Will Peter Laviolette survive this? And then Chris Kreider said, nah, let me put on my Superman cape and be what I was, because I've been on those teams that were mentally tough in 2012 and 2014 that got us far. I've been there and done that. And he did it. And I feel like he's the engine. If he goes, the Rangers go. Everybody says Panarin. Mm-mm. If Chris Kreider's going, you can't stop him. Because it's so crazy. You're wondering, where is the energy and the motor for the whole game? He doesn't put it on the whole game. Game 5, he was lackadaisical. Game 5. He did the stupid penalty in the beginning of Game 6 yesterday. They got the power play. They're down 1-0. And then, boom, he does a stupid cross check.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, here we go. But that was a crazy sequence last night. I sat there. I didn't even watch any post game. I just turned the TV off. And I just sat there and I said, what did I just watch? I think I was more stunned and shocked. And then I called up your show after because I had to just sit there for a minute and realize, what the hell did I just see? Because a team like the Hurricanes don't collapse like that, Speedy. They don't. No. On home ice, Rob Brindamore teams don't collapse like that. And now you're looking at it, it's, what do the Hurricanes do from here?
Yeah.
They're in cap hell. They're going to have $21 million in salary cap, but Jake Gensel's a free agent. Martin Hook's a free agent. Natchez is a free agent. Slavin's a restricted free agent. Pesci.
Yep.
I've heard Natchez and Pesci, they've already decided they're not going to bring those two back. So they're clearly moving on from a lot of these guys. Gensel, that probably, maybe they bring Gensel back, but he's going to be a lot of their cap. And that's not really how Carolina operates. But the question also is Rob Brindamore the guy that's going to lead them? Mm-hmm. I don't know anymore. He's been to one Eastern Conference final and he got swept.
Well, yeah, it's a weird dichotomy because Carolina
is the big word again.
Is a lot like what Nashville was. Like, Nashville got to the cup as an underdog, but once they became a favorite, they weren't as good in the playoffs. And I think Carolina's like that. The first year, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals when they were a wild card after they beat Washington, and then they beat the Islanders. And they were the seventh seed. They were the first wild card. And last year, with all the injuries, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals when they beat the Devils after the Devils beat the Rangers, which came out of nowhere because they're like, oh, this offense.
Oh, Carolina was thrilled about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But when they're a higher seed, when they're much more of a favorite, like you said at the start of the playoffs, betting favorites, and they couldn't do it at that point. It's just a weird, strange, like some teams are just better at underdogs and not as favorites. And the Rangers have fallen into that boat a little bit too, because think about the 2014 Rangers that went to the cup. They were the third seed in their division. Like, they weren't a President's Trophy team. They were a President's Trophy team the next team, and they lost in the
No, but finals. The other difference, too, is there's not been any seven-game series for this team. Swept Washington in 4. Beat Carolina in 6. So they're ending these series somewhat early. This is going to help them. Because if Boston, Florida goes 7, they play against Sunday, they don't play against until Wednesday. The Rangers have off for the next 5 days. Adam Fox is hurt. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, I think so.
That knee-on-knee collision in the Washington series, he's hurt. So they need this rest. So they get they get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They get 5 days off here. They're not even practicing today or tomorrow. I don't think they're practicing again until Sunday. So they get 2 days off. But again, sweeping the first round series, huge. Winning in 6, big. And then as far as tonight, I think the Bruins are going to win tonight. And I think it is going to go 7. And then it's all bets are off, because here's the thing. I believe, and I'm not saying this because I want it to happen, but it's true. I believe in Jeremy Swayman. Mm-hmm. I do. And every Ranger fan keeps saying, oh my God, if Boston gets there, it's going to be an easy cakewalk. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because now, for the first time in your series, the Rangers are going to face a goalie not as good as Igor, but can go toe-to-toe with him.
Oh, sure.
No Charlie Lindgren, no Freddie Anderson. It's either going to be Jeremy Swayman or Sergei Bobrovsky. There is no more massive goalie advantage anymore. That's done. That's over.
Yeah.
And then if you get to the Stanley Cup final, Jake Oettinger could be waiting for you there.
Yep.
They could have Thatcher Demko back for Vancouver if that happens.
I guess the other two you would be afraid of. But
not Georgiev, no.
And definitely not whoever started Picker for the Oilers.
Picker or Oilers or anything like that. No, Oettinger would be the one I would fear. I think Dallas,
absolutely.
I think Dallas is ending it tonight. I think Dallas is winning the Western Conference.
I do, too.
So we'll see where this goes. You think Boston wins tonight, too?
I don't. I think Florida wins tonight.
You think Florida wins it tonight? Okay.
And like your dad was saying, I think it'll be like a 2-1 game. But
I think Boston
Florida
needs it
tonight.
Out. I think, and I, okay. think, I think if Marchand comes back, I think that's going to get the team a jolt.
I hope you're right. I want a longer series, too. But
no,
I
but I'm just saying it's not going to be easy. It's just not going to be easy.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why everybody thinks, oh, if the Bruins get there, it's going to be a cakewalk. As far as the NBA goes, the Boston Celtics, they're waiting, and they're already chanting F New York. So they clearly know what's going to be happening tonight. Knicks-Pacers tonight, 8:30, the only game on tonight. Which, again, I said on the show yesterday, if the Knicks win tonight, the Knicks-Celtics don't begin their series till Tuesday. Because Minnesota won yesterday after they whooped Denver by 30-plus. And then you have Dallas right now. They're up 3-2 on OKC. They get in it tomorrow, which it's crazy because, you know, we talk about the New York-Boston thing. So Colorado's playing Dallas right now, and Colorado could play Dallas possibly in the Western Conference Finals in the NBA,
yeah,
which is such a crazy small world kind of thing. To me, I think Dallas will close out OKC.
I do too.
I think OKC has a lot to learn from this. I think Chet Holmgren learned he's got to add more weight to his body in the playoffs.
Right.
Luka and Kyrie are playing great. See what you will. I will tell you this: if you get a Knicks Mavericks finals, oh God, Kyrie back in New York.
Oh God!
Hide your kids, hide your wives, and hide everybody around them because he's gonna try to do some juju on them.
Hopefully, if that ends up happening, the Knicks winning that against Mark Cuban just to stick it to them for last year would be nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think the Knicks are closing this out tonight. I think you saw it on their face after Game 5 when they beat them by 30; they weren't even smiling. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, Brunson, he wasn't fooling around with any of his teammates during the post game. Black hat on, black shirt on. Like, yo, I'm not hurt. I'm fine. The minutes, we don't look, we're not tired. We just had a crappy game in game 4. Mm-hmm. That's it. Tyrese Halliburton's got to stop changing his voice. That's another thing he's got to do. It's weird, man. And by the way, if Miles, did you see the picture that was posted of Miles Turner? Of him sitting on the bench with his outfit.
No, I didn't.
One time. I'll show it to you when we're done. DiVincenzo said it best. These guys are trying to act like tough guys, and they're not tough guys. They're not. This is not who the Pacers are. DiVincenzo was going toe-to-toe with Hartenstein does a little. Get out of here. Everything like that. You know, that was actually Burks that did that. DiVincenzo's fighting with everybody on the team.
That's Alec Burks played very well this series.
Damn right he has. I think the Knicks do it tonight. I think Dallas wins as well. Mm-hmm. I think Denver's going to win game 7.
I did so.
And then we'll see what happens. But I think the Knicks will close it out tonight.
I would expect a higher scoring game, too, because I think the Pacers' offense will click a little bit more. But the one thing the Knicks did better in Game 5 that I was a big problem for them in Game 3 was their off-ball movement. I think the Knicks were very stoic at certain possessions a lot.
Miles McBride is what did it. He slowed Halliburton down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, defensively, yeah, I knew the Knicks would be able to adjust like that, and I think you have to expect the Pacers to readjust.
Yeah, because they went small.
Yeah.
They did the Pacers.
Well, they had to.
They went small.
Yeah.
They went small, and that's it. They went small. And everything of that nature. They went small ball in this one. They put McBride in. And again, I keep saying if the Knicks play the Celtics, if Porzingis doesn't play in the series, which it sounds like he's not, and if OG does come back, gosh, you're going to have Tibbs versus Mazzulla. Because think about it, in the first two rounds, he had Nick Nurse, who's won a championship. Rick Carlisle has won a championship. What has Joe Mazzulla done in his tenure as a coach, other than underachieve with the Celtics? Nothing. Tibbs would have just as good of a resume as he would.
Okay, yeah. You could argue that, definitely.
There's nothing to argue. It's the facts. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. If Joe Mazzulla was the head coach of the Knicks right now, would they be where they are?
Probably not.
Oh, exactly.
No, I think what Thibodeau has done this year with managing injuries, even going back to the regular season, has been very impressive. So yeah, you're right. The Knicks definitely do have a coaching edge. I don't expect Porzingis to probably come back until maybe game three at the earliest, I would imagine.
But the question is it going to be too late?
I don't know. The way the splits have been, it probably...
The Celtics have had the easiest road.
I know. No, I'm talking about in terms of the patterns for like a home road type thing anyway. I would think you probably expect the first two games to be a split anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's time to get to the You're Better Than That segment, which I still am in the process of creating a drop for that. Speedster, what's yours?
Well, I kind of hinted at it earlier with Snug being in the comments section saying all the things he said, and that's Harrison Butker and his dumb comments at that
convention. Did you see he's also one of the most popular selling jerseys on NFL.shop.com
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, I did. And those people, get your morals straight if that's the case. God, with all the things he's saying, Harrison Butker, you're better than that.
Ah, he did it. There it is. Interesting. There wasn't really anything awry that went for me this week in regards to, like, sports-wise that I saw. I guess my year better than that would probably be the NFL scheduling. I mean, it's most notably taking away from the college football playoff and Christmas. I understand it's a machine, and it's going to be washed and everything like that. Tone it down, please. These are not your days. Okay? And then those people that say, oh, I'm boycotting the game on Netflix because I don't want to... Bull. That's a lie. You're going to watch. You're going to watch. NFL, you're better than that. And screw you for doing what you did with the Jets schedule. Bogus. Saying that the Jets owe us. Give me a break. I don't owe you anything.
We'll get them to get better turf.
Oh, yeah. But Speedy, thanks for stepping in again. Great show, man. Eric's going to be back next week. We will have a lot to discuss. Conference finals will be starting next show and everything like that. Thank you to the listeners out there. Thank you to my dad for calling in. Love to get him on again and everything of that nature. This was a great show. I mean, a lot to talk about, a lot of good stuff, a lot of things happening. Rangers moving on. Knicks, can they follow suit tonight? We both think they can.
Yeah.
It's going to be tight. We'll see if Indiana's awake for this one. Did the Knicks get into Indiana's head with the trash talking and everything? We'll find out who's mentally tough. We'll see in a little bit. Thank you so much. Again, you can check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Periscope, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcast, Smart Speakers, Apple Podcast, I said already, all the Alexa smart speakers, so much more. Check out Sports Loudmouths. You can check them out every Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Check out The Wise Guy. You can check out 103.9 FM, the Online News Radio Network, with the Weekend Crunch with Errol and Speedy at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is the Herd back yet? We haven't heard.
I have not heard from
them. We have not heard from them, so we don't know. The Herd could have gone into extinct. We don't know. The Betting Show, of course, and so much more.
Snowman in the morning, too.
Thank you, I keep forgetting. Now you got Snowman in the morning from what time, Speedy?
It is 6 to 10 a.m. He's been doing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday pretty consistently.
That's right, so 6 to 10 a.m., Snowman in the morning. And does Kenny still do his show on Sundays?
He hasn't done it for like a month. He's always oversleeping, allegedly, which I know, Snug. The Kenny show has not been on for a very long time.
I was just going to say, I've noticed the Kenny show has not... It's not been going on, Snug. You think you might have to replace him for a little bit.
He sometimes slept later than me.
So, for Eric Bell, for Speedy Petey, I'm Josh Silverberg. Thank you so much for listening and watching us here live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go tonight. Let's go, Knicks. We'll talk to you then. Take care, everybody. Have a good weekend. You've been listening and watching Game On Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Peace!
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.